Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said patience strengthens the spirit, sweetens the temper, stifles anger, subdues pride, and bridles the tongue. We appreciate this opportunity again of talking with you about the Word of God. We get back to our study now, and the question we've been talking about is, why preach the Bible? Why is it that the Word of God should be preached unto mankind? Well, to say the very thing that I've stated, in part, answers the question. We preach the Bible because it is God's Word. The Bible is the Word of God, and there is evidence very clearly that it could not be and is not just a product of man. We also noted that the Bible has a power on the hearts of men to bring about a complete conversion or change in their lives. We noted a statement in Psalms 19 and verse 7 when the psalmist David said, "The word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." So when conversion takes place, it turns a man from one thing to another. When we're talking about conversion to Christ, we're talking about turning a man's life from a life of sin to a life of serving the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, 23, Peter says, "Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now, if you look at that passage carefully, the passage says, "You purified your souls in obeying the truth." I don't know how anyone could live with their conscience and tell people that obedience to the will of God is not necessary. This passage, along with many, many more like it, confirm very quickly that without obedience there is no salvation. But Peter said, "You purified your souls in obeying the truth." Now, yesterday we were looking at some examples of people who were purified, their life was changed, they turned around when they obeyed the truth. Let me show you an example, and we'll think about this for a moment. On the day of Pentecost, Jews from every nation under heaven assembled in the city of Jerusalem. These are people who just shortly before had been a part of a mob that had said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so Jesus had been put to death. Now, this audience that was guilty of killing the very Son of God listens as the Apostle Peter, along with the other apostles, convince them that this same Jesus, whom they've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. That's verse 36. And so it's very clear that there is no way that they're not understanding what Peter's saying or what the others are saying about their guilt. They were guilty of sin before God, and therefore something had to be done. Well, what is going to be done that is going to change their life from a life of rebellion and sin, crucifying, murdering innocent people? How are they going to be changed? Well, the Apostle Peter, along with others, just simply preached the Word of God. In the preaching of the Word of God, these people began to recognize their need to do something. So verse 37 says, "They said, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Do about what? Well, do about our sin. We've crucified the Son of God. We're murderers. What should we do? And they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, that isn't hard to understand. I don't know why so many people are confused on the matter of salvation when the Bible has made it so plain. People wanted to know what to do to be saved. They were told to repent and be baptized in order to be saved. These people did it. They did what they were told to do. They had remission of sins. What was it that turned their lives around? These same people, the Bible says, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They grew. They had favor with God and man. Now, how did these people, who were convinced of the fact that they were guilty of murder, how did they turn their lives around? Wasn't it by the preaching of the gospel of Christ, by the word of God being taught to them? There was no compromise in the presenting of the gospel. They understood exactly where they were, and they then were obedient to the gospel of Christ, and their lives were turned around. Great power in the preaching of the word of God. Now let me read a verse to you. I'm sure you're familiar with this verse. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at those verses, that's 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. And verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed to preach God's word. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Notice the definite article. It is the power of God. The verse does not say it's a power of God, one of many, but it is the power of God, the exclusive power of God. For what? For salvation. God just has one power to save men from their sins. Now that was by his choice. He decided by the gospel to save men from their sins. So Paul says, I'm not ashamed to preach it. I'm not ashamed to tell you the word of God, because it is God's power to bring about salvation. I think there's very clearly in this passage the admission, the statement that we ought to realize. The only way God will save us is for us to be obedient unto his will. And through the gospel, we learn what the will of God is, and we can be obedient to it. So if someone were to say, why do you preach the Bible? My answer is, because that's the power God has on men's souls to turn their lives around. We do appreciate this opportunity of Bible study today. I hope you'll listen again tomorrow. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you.